Have you ever experienced something in your life that was so absolutely wonderful that you thought nothing else could ever compare? Nothing could ever come close to what you felt at that moment? Remember the birth of your first child if you're a parent? The first smile? The first word? Ever watch a sunset where the colors were so spectacular you just wanted to freeze frame it? I remember one in Hawaii with Renee. It's the only time I've ever been, probably the only time I'll go. They've changed the gun laws. No. We sat there and we watched the sun extinguish itself seemingly into the ocean. We were so high up we could see the curvature of the earth in the distance. And I just wanted to capture the moment, the magnificence of God. Not even considering the fact the woman I loved was right beside me. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. Maybe it was the kindness of a stranger when you least expected it. Or words spoken at a difficult moment when you needed to know that someone cared. Might have been an event, emotional or spiritual, in your life that was so moving that now you can't get it out of your mind. It's always there. Maybe you hoped and prayed for something that seemed so impossible there was no way it could happen. And then against all the odds, God moved. When all hope seemed to be gone, God showed himself mighty in a powerful way. Might have been that you've experienced a miracle. I have. Amazing that I can stand before you without being disfigured for life. Maybe something happened in a church service just like this that so overwhelmed you, so moved you within your soul. His presence so amazing that you thought nothing could ever top it. Do you ever wish for those things to happen again? Ever look back and just go, man, I wish I could just grasp that one more time. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Our text is found in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior, they lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we magnify your name this morning. We love you, Lord. We stand amazed in your presence and we thank you for being here in our midst. We thank you for your mercy, for your unfailing love. We thank you for your word, infallible, inerrant, and unchanging. Lord, I ask you for your anointing this morning. I ask you to take a coal from off your altar and touch my lips. I ask you to purify this unworthy vessel, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Isaiah is in two parts. Chapters 1 through 39 can be summarized in one word: judgment. The second phase begins in chapter 40, And for the next 25 chapters, that too can be summarized in one word: salvation. Isaiah is the most quoted book of the New Testament. 60 times these last 25 chapters, verses within them, are used in the New Testament. Jesus quoted from it often. In fact, it's the most quoted book in the entire New Testament. Where we begin in chapter 16 and verse 43, Israel is in dire circumstances. It's the darkest time in their history. They've been taken into exile. They're captives in a foreign country. They've been stripped of their land, their families, their temple, and their king. The only thing they have left is the memory of what God has done for them in their past. Verse 16 opens with God reminding them of their deliverance from Egypt. He reminds them of the crossing of the Red Sea. They've heard the story over and over again. It's been read to them time and time again. It's been passed down to them through the generations. It's recorded in Exodus chapter 14. Moses is standing on the shore of the Red Sea. A million people gathered beside him. There's a great body of water before them, dividing Egypt from Arabia. At its narrowest point, it's 9 miles wide. This sea stretches almost 1,400 miles. At its widest point, it's 250 miles across. There is no other escape route. They have to cross the sea. The Egyptian army is racing towards them. 600 chariots, chosen chariots, the scripture says, and all of the other chariots of Egypt and all the horses of Egypt, saddled and men riding upon them, plus the troops marching by the thousands, they can see the dust cloud in the distance as thousands upon thousands of Egyptians race towards them. The Israelites are terrified. This is what they say. They look at Moses and they say, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to have served the Egyptians than to die here in the wilderness." No expectation in their hearts or their minds of what is about to happen. Moses replied, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." Just shut up and wait. That's what Moses said. The next passage tells us something very unique. The cloud that had been before them and the angel of the Lord who had led them suddenly moves from before them, passes over the top of them, and drops between them and the Egyptians. And the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness. Daylight went black. It took hours for a million people to cross that sea. All of them stood there with darkness behind them, light above them, and they watched Moses take his rod and lower it, and the water rolled back. This wasn't a pond. At its shallowest point, it's 300 feet deep. That's 10 times the height of the ceiling. 30 stories. And the water was flowing. It moves within that sea. It built and piled. And then the wind began to blow. And it dried out the way that he had opened before them. Darkness fell, but the pillar of fire lit their way like noonday sun. They all crossed to the other side. In the morning, it says, when they were all gathered on the other shore, that pillar of cloud rose, and the Egyptians could see them 9 miles in the distance. Their intent overwhelmed them. Pharaoh ordered those thousands of troops to advance, and they filed in to a causeway, 600 chariots, thousands of men and thousands of horses. And then God said to Moses, stretch out your hand. And in an instant, the cascades fell. Scripture says it snuffed them out like you pinch a candle. This wasn't just any army. This was the greatest army in the world at that time. The Egyptians were feared all over the world. Nothing compares to the fear and terror that they incited within those that they warred against. And all of them were gone in an instant. It's a remarkable story. An amazing miracle that God does. It was absolute deliverance for the children of Israel. And they knew it. None of them could deny it. And all who heard about it feared for their lives. Down through history, that single miracle became the one and only event that defined them from all others. It was the guarantee of God's protection, His provision, and His watch care upon them. But now, they're in Babylon. They've lost their land, their families, their traditions, their king. It's all been taken from them. They're a conquered people without hope and without deliverance, just like they had been in Egypt. And then God speaks. Verse 16, He reminds them again of who He is. Thus says the Lord, who makes the way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. I'm the one, He says, who used the very forces of nature, the wind and the water that no one else can control, and I delivered you. And then, the most curious thing, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Why would He say that? He had just reminded them of the most powerful thing He had ever done for them. And then He says, remember not. What was their past? What were the things of old? What had happened since Egypt and since the crossing of the Red Sea? They had wandered in the wilderness for a generation. They'd gone to Mount Sinai, and He had given them the Ten Commandments, and then they had broken them all. They finally made it to the Promised Land, entered in, and then not killed all of those that they had been ordered to kill to wipe out evil in the land. They chose not to destroy all of God's enemies, as commanded. And then they begged for a king, and God gave them Saul. David rose, and for a few years, theocracy reigned in Israel. And then that too was extinguished when Solomon failed to deliver. They turned their backs on the one who had delivered them. They worshipped false gods. They turned His temple into a despicable place. They had been warned by the prophets, and now they were being punished. Carried out of their land into exile, with nothing left except the memories. And then God says, quit thinking about the past. Stop pining for the way things used to be. In fact, don't expect anything to be done the way it used to be done. Forget it all. Verse 19, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Listen, Israel, I'm about to do something brand new. What I'm getting ready to do cannot be compared to your past. It's so completely different, you won't be able to wrap your minds around it. There's nothing to compare it to, and there will be nothing that takes place in the future that will ever come close to it, nor ever took place before it. I am sending my son. I don't know how you can sit there. They wanted a Red Sea experience. All Israel was looking for was deliverance from Babylon. And God says, I'm going to do something so much more amazing, so totally different. I'm not going to roll the water back. I'm going to roll the stone back. And when I do, my son's going to rise. I'm not going to crush Pharaoh's army. I'm going to crush Satan's army. I'm going to destroy sin and hell and the grave. He's coming! Remember not, consider not the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Grasp this, Israel. I'm going to deliver you physically. And I'm going to deliver you spiritually and emotionally and mentally. All they wanted to do was to go home. And God said, I'm going to change your life forever. I don't have to send you back there. I've got another place prepared for you. Oh, that we would grasp what the Holy Spirit's trying to say. Stop looking back. We do it all the time. We remember the way it used to be. How it was when we were kids. How it was when we first got saved. How it was when we were filled with the Holy Spirit. How it was when the church was first built. What it was like when revival came. When an evangelist stood in the pulpit and people got saved. How the Spirit moved in a mighty way. God says, don't expect God to move in the ways He's moved in the past. Don't look for the Red Sea to split open. God may want you to walk on water. You see the difference? It's not how He used to do things. It's what He plans to do now. It's not about looking back at how it used to be. It's where will God take us? What will He do? Where will we go? And how can we serve Him? When you pray, don't tell Him how to do it. Just ask Him for His will to be done and let Him show Himself mighty in your life. Let Him do a brand new thing. They were so focused on the past. We're just like them. We're focused on what's taken place. We carry such pain. Some of us have lost our homes, lost our families, lost our commitment to church, lost our Bible study practice, our commitment to prayer. We've lost our first love. We've lost our way. Satan never wants us to be free. His whole purpose is to keep us in exile. He doesn't want us to have victory in our lives. He wants us to be in captivity all our days. And if He can, He'll keep us there at any cost. Israel had failed over and over and over again. All they could remember was the one time God had been spectacular for them. Then life got in the way. Sin got in the way. Rebellion got in the way. And suffering came. Judgment came. And they lived in exile. You may feel like you're in exile today. You might feel like God's so far away you can't get to Him. I'll tell you what A.W. Tozer said. If you think God is moved, He hasn't. You have. He's immutable. He's unchanging. He is who He is, and He will be who He is today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Make a commitment to His future, His goals, and His plan. Forget about the past. He wants to move in mighty ways. We can't imagine what He wants to do. They stood at the Red Sea that day, incapable of even conceiving that the waters would roll back. You may face all kinds of obstacles. You cannot conceive with your finite mind what an infinite God can do for you. Just be still. That's all they had to do. Just be still and watch. Was there panic? Absolutely. Was there distress? Of course. Were they human? Yes. Did God care? No. They were His. He's the one who had called them out of Egypt. You're His. He's called you out of darkness into the light. I can remember the day I got saved. I was 5 years old. It was a little like a Quonset hut in Oklahoma. It was an army barrack. Concrete floors, metal roof. If it rained, we could hardly have church. Metal chairs and little windows. And I remember that morning, that Sunday morning, sunlight coming through those windows as the sun rose. And the overwhelming understanding at my young age that today was the day. The tug that pulled me towards the altar. 5 years later, I was in Juliet, Illinois, just outside Chicago. We had gone to the Science and Industry Museum. For any of you that have been there, I got to go in the Japanese sub, the only one captured in World War II. It was Sunday night. My dad was preaching about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And when the altar call came, I walked down front. And God poured Himself into me. Baptized. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew I needed it. And He filled me just like that. But I can't dwell in the memories. I can't pine for something else to happen like it did before. If I do, I'll limit what God has planned. When you kneel before Him, when you ask Him to move within your life, don't confine Him. He's infinite. He is above all things. He thinks beyond us. He's your Creator. Let Him move in your life in ways that you cannot imagine. He's moving among us. Every week I see Him move. I see hearts changing, growing, grasping more of who He is, crying out to be more and more of what He wants us to be. Remember not, expect the unexpected. It'll change your life. And He'll show Himself mighty. Our God is doing a new thing. Verse 20, I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to My chosen people, the people whom I formed for Myself, that they might declare My praise. He wants to move mightily in our midst. He wants to do things within our group that no one has ever seen. I have a great uncle that was at Azusa Street. One of the men that spoke here a few years ago, we were on the phone. We were on the phone this week. He's doing research. We're talking, and I went, oh yeah, he's my uncle. My great uncle. Really? It was nothing compared to what he wants to do. We're always looking back when we should be looking forward to what God has for us. It's a brand new thing. The prophet Isaiah, in chapter 42, just before God speaks these words, he declares this: Behold my servant, who I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you his covenant. For the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in the darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare to you. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. He is declaring to us today that it's coming. Open your eyes, open your hearts, and stand by for what God wants to do. I want the Holy Spirit to so fall within this room till we cannot stand in his presence. Till the Shekinah glory of God drops upon us. Till that cloud that stood between Israel and the Egyptians is so thick, we can't move. And then just wait for him to show himself mighty. Isaiah said the words that God wanted him to say. Remember not the things that are past. Prepare for what I'm going to do. Let's stand to our feet.